Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Take apart an alarm clock. You'll see an array of gears all working together. If one's out of place, the whole clock grinds to a halt. It's similar in the local church. If people are not serving where God wants them to serve, the ministry is shortchanged. Stay tuned. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We've begun a series on finding where you fit, a look at God's unique place of service for every believer. As Dr. Lutzer comes now challenging each of us to unwrap your gift, turn with us to 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
But now the Apostle Paul begins to talk about spiritual gifts. Verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. What does he mean by gifts? Well, it's the Greek word charismata or charismatic, which comes from the word charis, which is grace. It is a gracious gift that God gives to us that we might be able to function well and productively within the body of Jesus Christ. It may be related to a natural talent, but it may be something quite separate from a natural talent. It may be some way in which we are wired by God to function in such a way that we will meet a need in a way that no one else will. That is a spiritual gift. I might say that Paul uses that word gift in other ways too. For example, he talks about the gift of marriage and the gift of celibacy. Now, this is proof that one cannot have all spiritual gifts. It would be very difficult to see how one could have both the gift of celibacy as well as be gifted by the blessing of marriage. But the Apostle Paul here is using it in a more specific sense. Those gifts and abilities that God gives us to serve, these are gifts that help us work within the body of Jesus Christ. So all Christians should be charismatics. They should all be interested in the gifts. Let's notice some characteristics here of the way in which the Apostle Paul lays this out now in the verses before us. First of all, he says that all gifts have the same source. They originate in the purpose and plans of a sovereign God. Verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. A word to underline might be that word same. There are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Do you notice that the entire Trinity is involved in gifting? The Spirit is involved. The Lord is involved. That is, Christ is involved. And God is involved. God is intensely interested in the gifting of his people to do his work on earth. But I want you to notice that they all have the same source, and that is God. God. That's comforting. That not only means the same source for all Christians, but when you think of a local congregation like Moody Church, the source of the giftedness of the people whom God brings to us, the source is God. That means that if we don't have enough Sunday school teachers, it means that we are doing a poor job of developing spiritual gifts, because God is committed to providing leadership for his people. And if there are not enough small group leaders, and if there are not enough elders, and if there are not enough deacons, it is that we lack in the training of people, because God gifts his church. And God knows what our need is, but what this also means is that whatever God gives us, if it functions properly, there's going to be a basic unity. Oh, not a sameness. Not a monotonous sameness. By no chance in the world will that happen, because God loves variety. When he makes snowflakes, he makes every single one of them different. When he makes fingerprints, they are all different, because God is a God of variety. And he's painting a picture, and the mountain doesn't criticize the stream because it is different, and the stream doesn't criticize the trees, and the trees don't criticize the lakes because they're all part of the picture. The church is not a melting pot as much as it is a tossed salad, where everybody has something to contribute, and we are all different, and we maintain our individuality and our differences, and yet there is the unity of the Spirit that is brought about by God. Notice in verse 7, Paul says, all gifts have the same purpose. He says, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. See, we are not just gifted that we might edify ourselves and that we might feel good, though that happens too. There's nothing more fulfilling than serving God in the area of your giftedness. But that's not even the primary purpose. The primary purpose is that we might serve the larger body of Jesus Christ. That expression, common good, in Greek is symphony. That there might be a symphony. A symphony is all these diverse gifts. You have violinists, and you have those who play the flute, and you have these different instruments that come together in one harmonious crescendo of praise to God. All different, all unified, all led by the same conductor. Now, Paul is saying that that's the purpose of the giftedness of the church, is for the common good. And we play this symphony, first of all, for God. That's why we come to church. It is for God. It is not for us. If you leave here sometime and you say, you know, we didn't get a blessing today. I remember Vance Havner used to say, he said, I've never been in a meeting yet where I didn't get a blessing. But he said, I've had some mighty close calls. Maybe today you'll say, you know, I had a close call. But I want you to know today that that even is not as important as the question of whether or not God is blessed. God should be blessed. Now, we do it for God. We do it for the strengthening of the body, but we do it also because of our witness to the world. The reason that we teach is that we might reach. The reason that we come on Sunday is that we might go on Monday. The reason that we are edified is that we might evangelize. Our picture must always be beyond our walls, and that's where many of the gifts are exercised. Not just within here, but out there, there are gifts that are exercised. I happened to walk through the nursery this morning to see how things were going on there, and it was under very much control. I was not needed, I could assure you, in the nursery. But in meeting one of the ladies, she was talking about someone across the street, a homeless one, to whom she had given some material, some books, some tapes, some financial help. You see, there's an exercise of gifts well beyond these walls in that illustration, as well as many, many others. Now, back to the text. Paul says that these gifts have the same source. They originate in the triune God. They have the same purpose. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. And by the way, those acts of kindness are manifestations of the Spirit for the common good, for the sake of the symphony. Now I want you to notice what those gifts actually are, how different they are in function. Same source, same purpose, but different function. Pick it up in verse 8. And here we're going to list some of the gifts, and I will make only brief comments about them. To some, he says, are given the gift of wisdom. Wisdom. Now that's the ability to take knowledge and to apply it. A wise person is someone who can give advice even if there's no special verse of scripture for it, they understand the principles and they can apply those principles. If you want to have a counselor and you need somebody to give you some advice, they hopefully, he or she, would have the gift of wisdom. And how we need that in the church. He says the gift of knowledge. These are the people who know everything. They may be the people who win every time at Trivial Pursuit because they remember the name of Freud's dog and other very, very interesting things. But that they sometimes become our professors in our universities and in our colleges because they have a lot of knowledge. I don't think that this means necessarily that they have the ability to prognosticate, to predict the future, or to be able to look into someone's eyes and say, your disease is this or that. But they do have a penchant. They do have a bent toward the accumulation of knowledge, and they are needed within the church. And then he says, faith. This is not saving faith, which every Christian has. This is a special kind of faith that trusts God in difficult circumstances and trusts God for special answers and miracles that some of us may not have the ability to trust God for. The gift of faith. Gifts of healing. You'll notice that he puts it in the plural. Perhaps the reason is because not everyone was getting healed by one person. Maybe there were those who had a gift of healing for a particular kind of ailment, but not for another. Maybe there were those who could heal at a certain time and be used of God in that, and not at another time. This is a variety of gifts. Effecting of miracles. There is a lot of overlap here in the gifts. Just like wisdom and knowledge have overlapped, so gifts of healing and the effecting of miracles. Prophecy. In the early church, there were those who would foretell the future. Prophecy is also preaching and sharing the word of God. And I don't mean standing behind a pulpit and preaching. It may be being able to give that word of exhortation. Prophets are always very hard on sin. They have a great hatred for hypocrisy, and therefore prophets are often not well liked.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and yes, I know some people who I believe have the gift of being a prophet. And usually they are very critical of sin. Unfortunately, they often fall into the trap of being critical of others and sometimes not critical enough of themselves. A reminder, of course, that all of us who have spiritual gifts, and that includes you, there's always a positive, there's always a negative. Would you take out a moment today and ask yourself how you are gifted and then say, Lord, let me use my gift wisely for your glory.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. On our next Running to Win, Dr. Erwin Lutzer will explain more about the gifts of the Spirit as he continues his series on Finding Where You Fit. All four Finding Where You Fit messages can be yours on CD, sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.